We shift our focus to baseball and the Arizona Diamondbacks. Joining us now on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line for the first time in 2019, D-backs broadcaster Mike Farron, our guest. Mike, how are you?
How are you?
I would assume that you're among the people that's most jacked up when spring training rolls around. Just due to your nature, your love of the sport of baseball. I mean, you got to be pretty excited right now, right?
Yeah, I'd love it a lot more from the more national perspective if, like, all of the players were signed.
That would be good.
It's great. It's back, or closer to being back. I mean, I think every team has had pitchers and catchers report with the exception of one, and Atlanta will have them report tomorrow, and it was great being out at Salt River yesterday morning and seeing guys throw side sessions and hearing the pop of the mitt and listening to Orlando Hudson from six fields away yell at guys. So, like, all of that was awesome. So, I'm happy that we are getting closer and closer to being able to talk about what's going on the field again.
Mike, when you look at this Diamondbacks team losing the three main pieces that they lost, heading into this season, what specifically are you most excited about?
I think there's a couple of things. On the major league side, I'm excited about, seeing what Carson Kelly gets with an opportunity. You know, this was a guy who was a very well-regarded prospect, in the St. Louis Cardinals system and really had not gotten an opportunity because they have a future Hall of Famer in Yadier Molina there. So I'm excited to see what Carson Kelly can do. I think if you spend 5 minutes around Carson Kelly, you'll want to be all in on Carson Kelly. I mean, he's a really, really engaging, intelligent young man. You get the sense that he has a work ethic where he really wants to be good. And I think he's a guy that really, he's got a chance to be a pretty, pretty solid major league catcher. And I think the other thing that I'm excited to see, and I think it's one of the big question marks that the Diamondbacks have, is how does Ketel Marte handle center field?
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to some guys around there yesterday, and listen, you're hard pressed to find a better athlete, in any organization, let alone just the D-backs, than Marte. But that's a pretty big change, and he's got a little bit of experience playing with the Mariners in the big league some, and in the minor leagues, both with the Diamondbacks and the Mariners. But it's not a whole lot of experience, and he certainly doesn't lack for confidence. So I'm really curious to see how that plays out. In fact, that's probably the one thing in spring training that I am most interested in seeing, is how he handles that position defensively.
Mike Farron, Diamondbacks broadcaster, our guest here on Bickley and Marotta. Going back to the catching position for a second, Mike, we know what the Diamondbacks and their philosophy is on catchers. They've had three the last few years, and they seemingly had their three with Vila, Murphy, and Kelly, but they go out late in the process and get Caleb Joseph. What do you make of that four-catcher rotation right now, and should we read anything major into that Joseph acquisition?
I wouldn't, and the major reason why is because he still has options left, so he can be sent to the minor leagues. But I'm a very difficult person to talk to Caleb Joseph about, because my first year doing minor league baseball in Bowie was also his first year in Double A, and he's like an all-time great dude. So I am pulling for him to make the team for sure. But I think it's more about having depth, being able to have another option. His contract, I think that you and Zach Buchanan had this the other day, is kind of a split contract, based on what his salary would be if he goes to Reno. I wouldn't put much into it. I think they're trying to build in insurance in case, Kelly has a rough spring and they feel like he would be best served by going back to Reno. Or if there is, if something else happens, or if Joseph comes in and, at one point he was a fairly good offensive prospect, although he hasn't had very good numbers in the minor leagues, or in the major leagues, and they feel like that there's more there offensively and they might be able to make a change in one of the catcher spots. But I wouldn't read too much into it other than the fact that they just have depth at the position now, so that if there are injuries or if somebody is, really, really unproductive on especially on the defensive side, that they have someone to go to.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things that you have to continue to consider about the Diamondbacks, is that one of the keys the last two seasons has been the way that they've tried to build depth. And it didn't work as well last year because Dyson battled injuries and was coming off, a hernia surgery, and Avila obviously had a tough season, but they're trying to limit the number of negative value players that they have, and so adding somebody like Joseph to the mix gives them a credible extra option if, in fact, something bad happens, and they don't necessarily have somebody that's ready to step in.
Mike, the Taiwan Walker still on the shelf with the Tommy John, Patrick Corbin now in Washington. Luke Weaver comes in. Where do you see him fitting into this rotation?
Yeah, I'm probably like the fourth or fifth spot. I mean, I think, you know, he and Merrill Kelly will likely be the last two guys in that rotation, will be the fourth and fifth. And you know, Weaver's got a pretty good pedigree and was very good as a rookie in 2017 with St. Louis. So, you know, it's mostly fastball changeup guy. He's got a breaking ball. I know that's been a real point of emphasis in the early part of camp is his curveball. So, you know, we'll see how it goes from there. But I would expect him kind of in that, you know, him to be a guy that's in the rotation until something, you know, unless he something happens where it doesn't seem like he's a long-term rotation fit. I mean, I think he's a guy that I think some of the you know, more interesting or better public-facing statistical analysts view as being a strong candidate for a bounce back this year.
Mike Farron, Diamondbacks broadcaster, our guest here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Mike Hazen's gone on record a couple times, as you well know, Mike, in recent days, saying, as far as position players go, we've probably done what we're going to do, yet there's still this, I don't know if it's graduated past speculation, but Adam Jones is a guy that's out there as a veteran. You mentioned Ketel Marte shifting to center, and that's the case right now. Do you think there's value in the Diamondbacks bringing in somebody like an Adam Jones, or are you willing to go all in on the Ketel Marte and center experiment?
I think it's a really good question, Vince, because I think that's the one spot that you feel like there's uncertainty, right? Mm-hmm. And as good as Marte was defensively at second last year, you know, Wilmer Flores' defensive reputation is not as strong, mm-hmm. Although he's, you know, a pretty credible offensive player. So I do think that it's one of those things that you can look at. Now, the problem is that it's been a long time since scouts or metrics have graded Adam Jones out as being a good defensive center fielder. He really has struggled defensively as he's gotten older, and there's not really a spot for somebody like that on the roster if they have to play, you know, solely a corner outfield position. You know, Steven Souza Jr. is going to be in right, and David Peralta is going to be in left, and Adam Jones, I'm sure, would like to get, you know, close to 500 plate appearances if he could. I think there's a lot left in Adam Jones' tank offensively. He's never going to be a guy that walks a whole lot. He's cut his strikeout rate some. He'll hit for power. He is a really, really good guy to have in the clubhouse because he holds teammates accountable. So I think that there's a lot of benefit to having an Adam Jones. If there weren't questions about him being a center fielder, mm-hmm. I think there would be a better chance of him being here. But I think the questions are pretty loud at this point. And really, that's where the Diamondbacks were limited in free agency, is that like the only legitimate center fielder that was on the free agent market was A.J. Pollock, and it was just unlikely that A.J. was going to come back. So, you know, nobody's really been trading center fielders this winter. So, you know, unless they are convinced, and I haven't gotten the sense that they are, that Adam Jones can handle a significant number of games in the middle of the outfield, I would say that it's probably unlikely at this point.
Mm. Mike, there was a four-season stretch where Greg Holland was averaging over 40 saves per season. It wasn't that long ago. I know it's a lot of this is going to play out during spring training, but what do you think their ideal situation is in terms of heading into the season? Do they want Holland to be the closer? Do they want Bradley to be ready for that, or even somebody else?
Well, I think you need to stop looking. We need to stop looking at bullpens and in that what we've seen the last 25 or 30 years in terms of the one inning closers. I mean, I think we need to go back to when Vince and I were youngsters, when the best relievers were getting the biggest outs, right? And so I think they view Archie as being that guy, whether he's actually finishing games or you know, pitching, you know, part of the seventh and then the eighth, or part of the eighth and then the ninth. I think that that's kind of how they view Archie. So I don't know that I necessarily view it much differently than I did last year when Brad Boxberger was in. I mean, Holland has experience in that. Greg doesn't care where he pitches. You know, he's been pretty public about that, he just wants to be able to get big outs for a team. So I don't know that it necessarily matters, and I don't know that it matters, you know, who pitches the eighth, who pitches the ninth, so long as everybody is effective, and who pitches the seventh. So to me, it's not nearly as big a question. I think it's a question that's born more of the baseball that we've watched over the last 20 and 25 years and not focused on the baseball that we've seen played over the last mm-hmm. three or four. And, you know, like I think even today, David Bell, who's the new manager of the Reds, was asked about Raisel Iglesias, who's been their closer. And his comment was, Iglesias is going to get the biggest outs for us. And so I think as we see this shift away from chasing the save statistic and more about, you know, locking down high leverage spots, I think that that's kind of where the Diamondbacks view the bullpen and how it could evolve.
It's officially baseball season now. We've had Mike Farron on the show.